Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Salute to this lady.
My question is, from 0 to 100%, if you were to die tonight, do you know that you would go to heaven?
This is Wretched Radio. Don't know who that lady is, but she was the last in a queue of a long line of people asking Megyn Kelly questions. Megyn Kelly, formerly of Fox, was she? But I thought she went over to see whatever. Journalist is what she is. Now she does podcasting and she has a very powerful presence in social media land. She's doing events around the country. And this woman at the very end of the Q&A asked the question. Her answer kind of breaks your heart on the one hand and gives you a little bit of hope on the other hand. This is a question that people should be able to answer definitively.
Well, I like to think I would.
God wants you to know you would. That's what God wants. God wants you to know that you have eternal life, that you might know you are saved. Isn't that why the epistle of 1 John was written? I write these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. No, that's John 20. And in believing, you might have life. 1 John talks about, I write these things. He gives a self-examination list for us to take a look and see, are we growing in sanctification so that you can know you're in the faith? You can know it. Now, at the moment, based on Megyn Kelly's off-the-cuff answer, she'd like to think she is. You know what? I would love to know she is. And I think she would enjoy knowing that you are going to arrive safely home, not because of what you do, but because of what has been done for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. The question, on a scale of 0 to 100, how confident are you you'd go to heaven, is an awesome question. Notice she didn't, now, everybody's different, of course, but she's a sampling of at least one. Megyn Kelly didn't go, how dare you? That's a preposterous question. No, she's been trying to sort it, as we're going to hear. The people don't tend to get offended at that question. It's relatively innocuous because you haven't poked them in the chest in any way. You're just asking, hey, so on a scale of 0 to 100, where do you think you're going when you die? How confident are you you're going to go to heaven? Dr. Carl Brogy at Community Bible Church, that's kind of his go-to question. He holds a weekly meeting for those who are checking out the church. Well, maybe it's not weekly, monthly, whatever it is. Hey, if you'd like to ask questions, I'll be in my study at this time. But before they can ask their questions, he has some questions for them. And the chief question is, on a scale of 0 to 100, how confident are you you're going to go to heaven? For those who say 100%, he says, tell me why. Sometimes they don't know. And you can then clarify the gospel for them. But frequently, if these are people who are checking out a good Bible church, it's less than 100. That's not the score God wants you to have. He wants you to have 100% certainty, an assurance that is rock solid, because your hope is built not on you and your works. It's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That's why we can have assurance and we can know that we're going. Use that question in evangelism. Use it. It's a good question. It seems to be a relatively inoffensive question. And you might learn a lot about the Megyn Kelly in your life.
I've been thinking about it a lot over the past couple of years. Not just since Charlie died, but...
That's interesting. That's interesting. Now, if you never heard her speak, would you know that? You'd probably look at somebody like Megyn Kelly, a TV personality, and think they maybe don't have any deep thoughts whatsoever. This question revealed, I've been thinking about it. Wow, I got to tell you, When I hear something like that, that is like somebody just yelled, come and get it. You've been thinking about it, have you? Cool. Tell me what you've been thinking.
For that, because I had on Father Mike Schmitz on the show.
Oh, bummer.
He talked to me about how getting to heaven may not be as easy as we'd like to think.
She has a Roman Catholic priest on because she's attending a Roman Catholic church. And he lets her know, hey, it might not be so easy to get to heaven. I got to tell you, I don't know what's easier than receiving a gift. I don't know how much easier salvation can be. Now, it demands that you die to yourself. It demands that you agree with God. It demands that you say, you are correct. Lord, I have been wrong about everything, including my sin. But that's not a work. Trusting in Jesus is a gift from God. It is a gift from God, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Megyn Kelly is being given information that, hey, maybe it's more than just believing in Jesus, and yet you're going to hear something hopeful that maybe she does know that it's about believing in Jesus.
You know, I used to think you're just a good person. You'll go.
Can anybody else hear that sound? It's coming from Bellflower, California. It's got a Kiwi accent. It's Ray Comfort. You're not a good person. I can help you with that, Megan.
I think the truth is, if you are a person of faith, if you believe in Jesus, you're going.
Okay. That is good. And what do we have with Megyn Kelly at the moment? The answer is, I don't know for sure. She seems, as you're going to hear, kind of like works are kind of important, doing stuff. She doesn't seem to have that distinction that I think James was clearly making, that faith without works is dead versus faith requires works or you do not go to heaven. But that statement is hopeful, isn't it?
But he did talk about how you actually do need to live the faith. You actually do need to focus on doing good deeds.
Well, the Roman Catholic Church, if he was giving full disclosure, you have to do good deeds in order to inherit eternal life. You have to. The seven sacraments, they must be achieved. You've got to do those things. And the scary one is the works of love. It sounds so lovely, but it's nothing but doism. You've got to love people. You got to love them. You got to love people. Well, just fake it. Maybe don't love them from the heart, but do nice stuff. Otherwise, you don't inherit eternal life. That's Roman Catholic dogma. By the way, Jimmy, would you go to the AI machine? Would you be so kind? Ask Mr. AI if it has a gender. Let's ask that question. Do you have a gender, Mr. AI? And then the second question would be, list all of the things that you must do as a Mormon to go to Celestial City.
Okay.
The list is way longer than you think.
And trying to minimize the sin in your life. And when you sin, because we are all sinners, making sure you get in there and make it clean with God. Or
How do you make it clean with God? Do we confess our sins? Is he gracious and just to cleanse us from all? Yes, we do ongoing repentance. I don't know if she understands, though, that that's the relational aspect of believing in God versus the salvific aspect.
Or you need to do it in my church, in the Catholic church. You got to go in, you got to face up to the priest, and you got to say all the bad you did. Very awkward. But thank God for the evangelicals and Protestants. They don't have to do that, which is reason enough to join those.
Yes. Yes, it is. But it's not because it's evangelical or Protestant. It's because it's biblical.
Denominations. But get right with God and do the good deeds. And above all, truly, and I think many people have been having this feeling since Charlie, welcome Jesus into your life. And if you're not feeling it, read up, go to church, be open to it, and ask God for a message that speaks to you. He will deliver. Thank you.
Okay. Pray for Megyn Kelly. I hope that she has more and more evangelicals surround her. It seems that the political movement, the conservative political movement, is being dominated these days by Roman Catholics. So is the Supreme Court, by the way. But conservative circles, I think of all of the people on Daily Wire. Is there a Protestant in the lot? Clavin, is he a Protestant or is he a Catholic? I think he might be a Protestant. Otherwise, I think that that's just dominated by a whole lot of Roman Catholics. That would be a good evangelistic field to get into, wouldn't it? Jimmy, did you find out what Mr. AI said?
I did.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this? Have faith in Jesus, repent of all sins repeatedly and thoroughly, be baptized by LDS priesthood authority.
That's three things.
Receive the laying on of hands
for
the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Join and remain faithful to the LDS church.
That's five.
Maintain temple worthiness. Receive LDS temple endowment. Be married and sealed in the LDS temple. Keep all covenants made in the temple. Perform rituals for the dead.
Okay, I think, I think that's 10.
Yeah, that's 10. There's still
I'm more. Exhausted.
There's two more.
Okay.
Maintain lifelong obedience and endurance. And receive final judgment based on works.
And what about the undergarments? Where do those fit into celestials? Did you see, by the way? It's been, the women in the Mormon church, they're very excited because they've for the first time offered short sleeve undergarments, temple garments. Because, well, you know, wearing all those long sleeves, they get a little bit warm. So this is just a little lighter weight. And apparently they're selling like hotcakes. Why? Because that's the Mormon religion. You got to do stuff to get to heaven. That ain't Christianity. Be praying for Megyn Kelly. This is Wretched Radio.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are. Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org. Because real men know when they need real help. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like?
2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Endowments for the dead? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, that was on your list of a dozen things you need to do as a Mormon to get to heaven.
Yeah, perform rituals for the dead.
Who? What are those rituals exactly?
Proxy baptisms.
So baptize somebody who's not there through somebody who's here, and then who gets to Celestial City?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So what are the endowments for the dead?
Yeah, proxy endowments.
Yeah.
And sealing families.
That's one of the ways that the Mormon Church is so effective in keeping members. You've got to do these things, otherwise you're not going to be with your family in heaven. They press into that. Now, do we recognize that reality? If somebody in our family doesn't believe in Jesus, we won't be with them in heaven? Yes. But they make heaven about being with family. We make heaven about being with Jesus. A family would be considered a bonus, but everybody in heaven is going to be my family. Same with you. That's why Jesus said, no marriage in heaven. Marriage was a pointer to the greater reality of the fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ. That's what makes heaven heaven. The Mormon people, they're really super nice. They do a lot of really good things. It's undeniable, but they're all being done for the sole purpose of earning their way to Celestial City. In other words, it is a work righteous religion. So is the Roman Catholic Church. I know that they're getting more clever with their language, but all you need to do is read the original documents, read what is in writing, and it is clear it is an onerous, work-righteous system. Megyn Kelly appears to be kind of in it, but she's hearing enough from evangelicals where she understands all you need to do is believe in Jesus and everything is taken care of. Yes. Yes, it is. Preached about this at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday, that Jesus wants something distinctly different than a work righteous system. He finds it abhorrent. I didn't bring the verses in with me, but you can read through Malachi, Isaiah, Zechariah. I hate your stinking sacrifices. I hate them. They're a stench in my nostrils. I'm not going to hear your prayers anymore. Why was God so agitated with religious external performance? Because it's religious external performance. It's not that he's entirely disinterested in how we behave, but he's after something so different than the Roman Catholic Church and Mormonism and Islam and Buddhism and anything that isn't biblical Christianity. What is God after? Your lev. That's right. I said it. Your lev, or if you prefer, your levav. It's the Hebrew word for your heart, the inner person. He wants you. He doesn't want just bibbidi-bobbidi, say your prayers, swing some incense, go into a confessional booth, and just, you got to come up with something to tell the guy. And then you have to do some things to kind of get rid of the things that you've confessed to the guy. He's not interested in that. Jesus woed the Pharisees for that 7 times. Some count 8, but at least 7 times. Matthew 23, woe, woe, woe. You're phonies. You're religious hypocrites. And it stinks. He doesn't want it. God wants something different. God wants your heart. That word is used in the Old Testament over 700 times. It's used, actually, the word heart is used over 800 times. But over 700 times, it refers to the inner man. You, your soul, your spirit. Interchangeable words, by the way. Soul, spirit, mind, heart. All interchangeable words. It's not a word that talks about a different part of you. It's just a different way of looking at you. A different perspective on you. And the New Testament uses the very same language, obviously in Greek, your cardia, your heart. And it's interchangeable. That's why Jesus said you are to love God with what? Four different parts of you? No, the totality of you. That's what he was saying. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. It's the totality of you. That's what he wants. He wants your heart, not just performance. Performance doesn't contribute to your salvation. He wants to save you so that he can replace your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh, so that you desire to do his will. The staggering reality behind this truth is that God actually, when he says that he wants our hearts, that he desires the totality of who we are, which includes affections, will, emotions, everything about you, it's because he actually wants us. Oh, man. He wants us. God wants you. He wants you. He actually wants you. That heart that is so filled with sin, Jesus says, yep, I want it. I want it. What I'm going to do with that dirty heart is cleanse it. And then I'm going to fix it. And I'm going to rewire your heart so that it operates rightly, so that you have more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, so that you've got shalom, so that life is not a perpetual freak out, so that you can have assurance that you're going to have. I want to do all of those things for you. That is Christianity. And that is why we can't back away from talking about sin and righteousness and judgment. I just saw a new sermon from Ray Comfort. He was preaching, I think, at a big Calvary Chapel church somewhere in California because he doesn't travel very much. And I got to tell you, boy, Ray, Jimmy, would you Google, and how old is Ray? Is he 75? His voice was so elastic. It was just, and he had some rah behind it. And he was talking about the necessity of preaching about sin and that God is a consuming fire so that people understand that the gospel is about forgiveness of sins. And I thought, Ray Comfort, man, preaching that word so faithfully for five decades. You got to look at a guy like Ray Comfort and go, okay, you want to know that God is alive and active? Look at somebody like that. How do you have that sort of endurance, that sort of faithfulness and tenacity to just keep banging on? This is the gospel. Use the law. Preach the good news. And it's an encouragement that we've got to keep doing that. But simultaneously, we need to be showing the kindness of God that leads to repentance. And I think that that's a component where I think we could use some shoring up in our evangelism, showing God to be so amazing that you would just be foolish to reject him. Jimmy, how old is Ray?
He is 75 today.
75 years old.
He'll be 76 in 3 weeks.
I'm telling you, you go, I don't know where they've got this thing posted, but you go listen and it's like, he is still preaching like a maniac. And I mean that in the best sense of the word, if there is a best sense of the word maniac. Outstanding. We got to get the gospel right. And we do have to preach about sin and judgment. But we also need to show the goodness of God through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we need to share with Megyn Kelly, should you bump into her. By the way, speaking of Megyn Kelly, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but I'm not all that politically aware. But I am aware of a trend that's going on right now in conservative circles. Have you seen the fracturing that's taking place? And no, I'm not talking about in reform circles, which is where there's all kinds of fracturing that has taken place. No, I'm talking about political conservative circles. I don't know what the deal is, but I saw a snippet of Ben Shapiro kind of going after Megyn Kelly for not being critical of Tucker Carlson, who wasn't critical of Nick Fuentes, who apparently is a fan of Adolf Hitler. So it seems that there's trouble in paradise. I don't get it, which is why next week, I think Monday, Jimmy, Megan Basham is going to join us. I don't know what's going on. I'm here. Well, for instance, I'm not just making this up, by the way. Ugly problem with political right. This was written in the Christian Post. There's an ugly new current running through parts of the political right. a growing attempt to sanitize what should never be sanitized, overt fascism, national socialism, Kinnist racial theory, and anti-Jewish conspiracy. So Matt Walsh is entangled in this. And it seems that not everybody is on the Candace Owen, but I don't get any of that stuff. Megan does. So we're going to lean into her to help us understand just what is going on in conservative circles, because it was really a coalition like that. You can't long hold together if you don't have a central, you don't have a loci that you, that would be plural, a locus, that you don't have something that that keeps everybody in lockstep, because we have a core belief in something. In Christianity, of course, we have Jesus. In conservative politics, you don't have that. And so we're seeing a whole lot of fracturing. And we're seeing a whole lot of people in those circles. Wouldn't you love to see Megyn Kelly, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, all those guys saved? Because Jesus saves by grace alone. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.